The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Mark Amtower of Amtower & Company, which is entirely responsible for its content.
This is Amtower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center, with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I have some background on my guest today, Jim Fitzgibbon of SDG America. We never met prior to today, and the reason I asked Jim to come in with me today is every time I get a connection on LinkedIn, about 50% of the time when you look at the person's profile who's asking to connect, you share these many connections in common. And 50% of the time, Jim's picture pops up. So I'm thinking to myself, I don't know this guy very well. We've been on LinkedIn together since early 2011. So it's 6+, going on 7 years, I guess. But I thought, what the heck? Let's get together and have a chat. So, Jim, welcome to the show.
Mark, thanks so much. It's really a privilege of mine to be here with you.
And you know, just so people know, we do share almost 1,600 connections. Okay. 1,536 last time I looked, which was oddly enough this morning. Just to verify. So I'm not surprised that you show up so often, but, you know, I mean, truly 50% of the time when somebody's reaching out to connect, if they are in the DC area, your picture's there. So fill in the blanks here. Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much. Well, I Mark, it's interesting. Talk about my company in a quick moment, but LinkedIn has been such a enigma to me in the beginning, and really turned out to be a wild ride, and continues to be. I think I originally signed up for it in 2003.
Okay, you were a real pioneer, because I didn't get on until early 04.
That's a funny part of it. I distinctly remember getting an email that said I was number 35,000 and change or something. And I didn't even know what it meant. What is LinkedIn? I don't even know why I signed up, frankly. And I don't know how many they got now, Mark. 500 million people on this thing?
525 thereabouts, yeah.
So it really, in the beginning days, it kind of started out as a lark almost. You know, there was people profiled up there. I put my profile up there. I think it took me a wild, long time to put up a picture and that kind of thing. But there was some point where it really just simply took off. It got a kind of a life of its own. People, you know, connecting with you all over the place, that kind of thing. And it began to play a part in my company, SDG America, which, for all practical purposes, is a consulting firm. That's right. That's what we do. We work with private equity groups around the U.S. And these are the small, these aren't the big venture capital. It's right. Not Warburg Pincus. They don't need me for anything. But the small ones who have high net worth people within there, but they acquire businesses. Sometimes they're goods. Most often they need help of some dimension or another. That's where we come in and help them. Could be federal, could be commercial. Sales, marketing operations, this kind of thing. And LinkedIn, just to connect the two, became very important to who we were finding out there, connecting the dots to people who owned different properties, this kind of thing. And really, Mark, what turned out to be sort of a lark has turned into my Frank number one model for connecting with people. So I have a lot of, I don't know, 6,000 or 7,000 connections on there. I'm sure, you know, most of these in the early days, I don't really know. Hopefully they're all good people, but I'm sure I have some people that are,
Early on, you know, I didn't have goals for what I wanted to do as far as connecting or even accomplishing on LinkedIn. So for me, that didn't occur until 07, and I'll get into that in a minute. But 27,000 connections. Well, you're over me by a factor of three.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
And I can't say I know all of these people, but I it's just astonishing to me. I, you know, thinking about this show here this morning, And again, once I think there's a certain level where it just simply unfolds onto itself, so I will have, I think I had 15 requests this morning, 15 or 16. And I don't always accept them all, because if some, I can tell somebody wants to get it connected so they can sell me their, you know, web services or SEO, this kind of thing. I've got enough of that. But broader than
that. Hopefully your website has that built in already.
Well, so. Yeah, it's, you know, I would have to say, I'm sure it needs some fine tuning and all that kind of thing. But really, it started to take off when I started to get to the higher level of person, the presidents of companies, CFOs, senior vice presidents, that kind of thing. And I would reach out. I'd reach out to connect with them, and maybe 50% of the time they would accept it or not. And once I reach out to them, of course, I have their email address, or I'd write in mail to them sometime. I made it very short, applicable to what they did, and maybe another 30% of the time they would respond to me. Not always, but again, I had a remarkable level one, two, and three group of people I could go out after, and I think that's probably what happened to you. My face, unfortunately, appears in a lot of the searches that come your way, and maybe other people. So, but that's really sort of the short history of it. I use it every day.
Yeah, it's hard not to. But let's get into a little bit more about SDG before we get the show's going to focus on LinkedIn.
Sure.
We'll deal with that in depth, but so you've been in business now since 02 as SDG. What'd you do prior to that to prep?
Well, Mark, I had 18 years with AT&T and a whole many segments of their business. I was on a program that they really don't have anymore for high potential people, make a long story short, and did operational things, did sales, marketing things, went through kind of many rigors of that business, very much enjoyed it. Left in around the 2000 area. I was running a U.S. team for AT&T's dial-up internet business called WorldNet. A lot of fun, great company, and moved on. I wasn't really doing SDG full-time at the I kind of fell into it. A friend of mine asked me to come to his office, and he was the company had been around for 20, 25 years, but it was sort of failing the last couple of years. Didn't know why. Could I take a peek at it? And I said, sure. Came in, spent, you know, a couple of weeks there, and reported back to him and said, you know, here's where things I would change. Here's different things I would do to up your revenues and margins, this kind of thing. And that was sort of the genesis of what I did next, which was to kind of consolidate more around SDG. And I was still working. I did some work with GTSI and others when they were around.
Well, they're still around.
They're still around. Yeah, Unicom, I think. Right?
Yeah.
So great company and great people there. But the notion of what SDG, Strategic Development Group, we really don't say that anymore, but it's just that, SDG America, because we do some stuff with embassies I'll mention in a moment. But began to find business, began to work with sort of mid-tier private equity groups around the nation. And we found that a typical private equity would have, you know, if the math was they had 10 properties, six of them were underwater to some degree. Two of them they're doing okay with, two of them they're knocking out of the park. It was those six that they wanted somebody to come in and take a peek at, fix, sales, marketing, operations, organization, P&L. And that's what we did. And I had a number of colleagues that I work with, both within the company and outside the company, if I needed a specific expertise, like yourself, or so for all your knowledge in federal business, which is renown around this area.
Yeah, so, but it's smoke and mirrors because, like you, if I don't do it, I aim them at people that do it.
That's exactly
I'm the marketing guy.
I'm the marketing guy.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I do. I have several projects going on now where I'm actually in there on a daily basis, you know, writing the plans and affecting the changes. But so that's it. We have a list of 1,200 private equity groups around the U.S. We have a ton of business. I love it. And again, it's the fix-it business, I'll simply call it. We come in for a day, a month. I've got some that we have worked with for 3 years, you know, or we review plans and we've done our magic and then we may exit, but come back. I've got a firm right down the road here on Wisconsin Avenue that I see quite often, great company. And most of the companies too are sort of in the $10 to $100 million range. I've done some specific work on $500 million companies where they want me to come in and reorganize the sales team, marketing team. Let's get another market that we need to go after again. Then I'll jump back to LinkedIn to help frame that out. And that's my business. I've been doing it for quite a bit of time now, and it's a ton of fun. Meet so many different people. It's just truly a joy to go in and listen to somebody's problem, see if I can help. And there are times too, Mark, I'll say that we can't help.
Yeah.
Or that's going to sound horrible, but or they're too
far down the road.
Too far down, and we'll say it out loud. I know it sounds terrible. I just don't take the business. I said, you know, I really can't help
you. Well,
it's
the Kevin O'Leary role.
I can't help you.
You're riding a dead horse. Get off.
Yes. I don't quite say that, but try to gracefully say that, you know, don't waste your money on me. There might be some other approach to it.
Yeah.
Once in a while, we'll get asked if we know people for sales of the business, that kind of thing. We do. It's really not my job or role, but they'll ask for advice or counsel on people in the industry, yourself, for example. I said, yeah, if you want to go on the federal route, there's really only one name in the area. So that's
nice to know.
Yeah.
All right. And it beats the hell out of working for somebody else. You know, having been self-employed for 32 years, there are some serious pluses and some downsides occasionally as well. But we're going to take our first break. You're listening to AM Tower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Back with Jim right after this. Welcome back to AM Tower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtar. I'm here with Jim Fitzgibbon. If you could hear the outtakes, you'd be rolling in the aisles. let's get back to one thing before we leave working for yourself. There is nothing like working for yourself, and it takes a certain mindset to do so. But when we were between takes here, I get people occasionally coming up saying, you know, I could do what you do. And, you know, I'm going, you know, I'm an open book. You know, you can look at LinkedIn, you can look at my website, you can read my books, you can read my articles, you can listen to my radio show. You think you can do all this stuff? Go for it.
Do it.
You know? And you have the same issue.
Yeah, Mark, it's astonishing. You know, and I think people probably mean well when they say that. I work 24 hours a day. I said, well, yeah, I am my own boss, and I do have a big corporate background, but the frank truth is that if you want to do what I do, I'll tell you exactly how to do it, but you have to really believe in it, and you really have to do it, and I think you'll find it's a little harder than you may think, you know, to get revenues rolling and that kind of thing. So
it takes a while to build a reputation.
Well put. That's exactly right. People have to believe in you, and you have to really produce, so...
It is what it is. So, so you know, 2003 in May, Reed, whatever his name is. Doesn't matter. Reed LinkedIn boy.
Yeah.
And five other guys are sitting around his living room chatting, and this thing is born. You join a little later on that year. I'm about 4 or 5 months behind you because I'm only in the first quarter million. You're in the first 25,000, which is cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you, but I'm sitting there after I joined them waiting for something to happen. And I waited 3 years for something to happen. And in 2007, I read two books. I read Jason Alba's I'm on LinkedIn, Now What?
Yeah.
And then I read David Meerman Scott's The New Rules of Marketing and PR. And for people who listen to this show, David's been on 7 or 8 times. He was on a few months ago with the sixth edition of The New Rules in Marketing and PR in 10 years. Mm. Whoa, dude, that's selling a few books. I'm jealous.
Exactly right.
David didn't mention anything about LinkedIn in his book, but what he did was showed me how the web had radically altered your ability to communicate with virtually any definable audience out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true, Mark. And in the early days, as you point out, it was sort of a lark. I can't think of any better word to choose than that because I didn't know what it meant, other than it meant it was a business collection of business people.
Right.
Much different than a Facebook thing. In fact, I have two people on Facebook, my kids. I don't use it. I probably should, but LinkedIn has been my...
I post stuff there and people actually comment on it, but I don't go there
engage. It's a great product. It's never served me as business. I'm sure it serves other people as business, but yeah, LinkedIn. And then as I mentioned earlier, it kind of grew over time where it took on a life of its own. So if I was connected with somebody in some business, I would look down the right-hand side of LinkedIn and I'd see all the people other people look at. And I'd say, well, you know, that's interesting. I click. And once in a while, LinkedIn would come back to me and scold me for, reaching out to people I didn't know.
And you were put on in the corner for 2 weeks or something.
Exactly.
Mea culpa, mea culpa. Let me back in.
I never abused it, really. I never went to get, for example, if I was going to get you, we connect, I get your email address, I'd write you some nonsense about something. I had to have really a specific
I've got a used reason. Car I want you to buy.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't, and I get this all the time. Hey, let's collaborate. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean to people, but the frank truth is, what specifically, how do we intersect your business and my business that we can go after, you know, it makes perfect sense to me as opposed to maybe if we chat a while, we can figure out something we could do together. Mark, I probably get 50 of these a week.
That's what happens when you have 27,000 connections.
That's a problem. Yeah, yeah. That's a problem.
I only get a couple a month because I only have 8,500 connections.
But I do also get some really astonishing connections with people that I truly don't know. They're big shots out there that are, I don't know, head of the monetary fund or whatever. And I'll say, wow, what the... And I'll click yes, sure. I just would like to be in their company, if nothing
else. Nigerian Monetary Fund, they want to send you $9 million.
Stay away from those. No, U.S. Monetary. But we were talking earlier, offline. It's very useful to me. We do some work, I think I'd mentioned, with offshore companies coming to the U.S. where we represent them. We could set up their business or we can simply do a review of their product or service and if it will succeed in the U.S. But we've gone to a lot of the embassies in and around the area. We're so close, right down the road here. We'll go to the UK embassy and talk to a trade consulate about our effort. They'll bring in people that, you know, have contacted the every country
trade missions coming in, they call Jim to speak. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they all want to get their product or service in the U.S. You know, right. U.S., the federal market, the commercial market, that kind of thing. So LinkedIn becomes very, very helpful to me in that because I will not typically know a lot of offshore people in positions of power. So I'll start a quest to learn a little bit more. I'll come back with connections, that kind of thing, and then I'll assemble a working knowledge of what they may be after, the competitive stance in the U.S. and all that kind of thing. So we do a lot of, I won't call it well, I will call it study, study to make sense of whether we can serve a market in the U.S. for a particular product. As you probably know, there's a lot of things coming in for cyber and physical security, mm-hmm. Internet of Things. All this is very big topics. Everybody's got a product or service now, and industry is just replete with product-oriented stuff that wants to serve our market.
Let me ask you this. Has anybody ever called you and said, Jim, I have a crappy product. Will you help me sell it?
No, but I would kind of like that. You know, okay, good to know.
No, I've got a tchotchke nobody needs.
Yeah, no.
I've never had that call either.
I like that, yeah.
But it turns out there's a lot of them out there that call me.
100%. You know, I've got cold fusion in a bottle here. You got to see it. I said, okay. But there are some really interesting products out there, and they some people well articulate their products. Often they don't, and so I have to ask a whole set of inquiries just to try to get to the bottom of it, whether it makes even sense to help them out in any way. But even if I can't, this is I've kind of made a commitment to myself. Even if I can't, I'll point them in another direction. I said, you know, it's really not for me. It's something that we don't specifically focus on, but this person does. And let me just herald your inquiry out to other people I know and have them contact you directly.
Same thing. When I have one piece of the puzzle. I do the marketing side of things. So yeah. In the government market, there's a lot of bases that you have to cover, and right. I have no desire to cover 95% of them. So I have an inner circle of companies, from M&A firms to BD firms to accounting firms to law firms to you know, you name it, I've got it covered. So if I don't do it, I'll say, let me do an intro for you, because you don't need me, or you don't need me yet, or you really have to cover these before you're even close to getting in.
Yeah, Mark, and that coaching from you specifically is really important. And I know you're being modest, but the frank truth is, in this area, there's very few people who don't know your name and your capabilities. So your ability to connect the dots is hugely important.
That's important for you too, especially when these companies call you. Given, you know, 15 years of working with literally hundreds, if not thousands, of companies, because you do one-day gigs up to multi-year gigs,
yep.
In multiple industries. Yep. I've been in multiple industries too. So when somebody comes in with this thing, I'm thinking, you're not a direct play, you're a channel play, and here are the three major companies that play this game, or you've got to go through this set of compliance mm-hmm. things.
Yeah, very much so. And when I'm talking to, you know, it's interesting. I'll just take kind of a page out of that. So you're right. That's an interesting perspective. So I see a lot of companies. They may be, I have an industrial tooling firm, a staffing firm for nurse staffing, a software product firm, and they're all looking to define their markets and move them on. They're not always broken. They could be an emerging market. So it's not always things that are broken. They just need some guidance and help. Some of the bigger names out there may be too expensive for them, bigger consulting firms,
McKinsey.
That kind of thing. you name it. You know, there's a lot of, I don't mean any disrespect for any of them. They're all wonderful people, very smart. But we don't, you know, we just don't have anywhere near their fees, and there's really no need for it. I don't have a lot of superstructure I have to support.
I get surprised people occasionally. You know, that's
yeah.
all?
Yeah, right. That's exactly
You want
right.
me to charge more?
Yeah, okay. I'll charge you more. Yeah.
Oh, I left off a zero. Sorry.
and we really are honest with them. If we can't help them, we simply tell them, or it's outside of my expertise, and maybe go over there. But yeah, a lot of different perspectives. Everybody sells something, right? You got a product, you got a service. The products are three-dimensional or software, let's say. And we fundamentally have to come in and understand their business in order to help fix it or augment it, as is a popular word, grow it, right? That's what, how are we going to grow revenues? We ask to look at the business plans. Well, sometimes there's no business plan, you know, sales plans, marketing plans. Let's take a look at the P&L. Often you can hide a lot of stuff on a P&L, as you undoubtedly know. But really, when you start digging into it, it will come down to how's the revenue coming into the company? Mm-hmm. Is there enough of it coming in? Are you expanding your markets? Or are you just stale in the market that you're serving? Is somebody else eating your lunch? That's really where we'll excel. And there's hard choices to be made, Mark, in some of these firms that we talk to. And we sometimes are asked to do those hard choices. That means firing people, frankly. But it doesn't always mean firing. It can mean hiring too, because often on an organizational chart, we can make small changes that have big effect. And sometimes we need to make big changes and hopefully shooting for a big effect. But LinkedIn becomes, I was thinking about this on the way in today.
Hold that thought. We're going to pick up LinkedIn on the flip side of this. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm here with Jim Fitzgibbon, and he will be back with me right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. Jim Fitzgibbon was interrupted by me, so Jim, pick it up again.
All right, Mark, thanks. I was about to say one of the ways that I use LinkedIn, and I was thinking on my drive-in this morning, is so when I have a new opportunity and somebody will write to me, do you guys do XYZ? And I'll say, I'll go immediately go to LinkedIn and find all the people that I can find within that company on there. Just see what their background is and see what kind of company it is. Sometimes they write about their companies, often they don't. They want to profile themselves in one way or another. So I just want to see what the lay of the land is. I would say, I think you'd ask me this offline, but I'll just say, I probably use LinkedIn over an hour each day, every day, 7 days a week. It is my absolute number one go-to source, because everybody I know has a profile up there. Sometimes they're
greater
truthful.
Or lesser degrees.
Yeah, sometimes they're truthful. Sometimes they're less truthful.
Or sometimes there's just nothing there.
that's true. I'll open up. I've become much more critical as to now what I'm looking for, that kind of thing. At one point, I had one of the extra services. I think it was called LinkedIn Recruiter or one of these. Good product. Very good product. But it didn't really help me personally out.
Right.
I know a lot of people have it and pay for it and that kind of thing. I just have the modest version of this, whatever it costs. I can't remember.
You and I joined back at a time when it cost $19.
Is that what
a
it was?
Month. And we're grandfathered in. They can't raise our rates, but they can diminish the capabilities of that membership level.
Yeah, that's right. I think I stepped up the membership level. It might be $400 or $500 or whatever it is. But if you divided 300 hours even, what is it costing me? $1.66 a day, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, do I get $1.66 worth of value out of this? 100%.
Yep.
And if I just look at it in that sort of silly way, it works for me. But I use it all of the time. I'm never fishing for anything that typically is outside of my business. I shouldn't say that. I have friends and family in the medical business, for example. So I'll see their profile on something, and I'll look them up. But business all day long, I use it. I will use it in the early morning. I'll use it at night, and it's just been tremendous value to me.
I have home office. I've been home based for my entire career as AmTower and Company. And when the computer's on, LinkedIn is always on one screen.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah.
That's what I should have.
So, if I'm writing something, I'm like totally absorbed in the writing process.
Yeah, yeah.
But sooner or later in the writing process, something's going to germinate and I have to go over to LinkedIn, check it out.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yeah, that's a good segue, and that's exactly what I do. It's funny when it's in the back of your mind, you're thinking about it. I'm going to go look up this person or that person. I had to look up I'll do this by example. So the other day I was working with a firm that had a software for that they were marketing for franchise operations. I'll just say that. And I didn't really understand or really have a compelling interest in the past for, how many franchises? I wonder how many franchises there are in the U.S. And what they charge and how they go about getting all those things. So a little bit of the market study on the lay of the land for franchises. But and then, you know, you'd find out the people in those franchises you need to speak with, you know, in order to sell this particular product to them.
Right.
Without that, I'll just, as I was telling my wife a month or so ago, I said, you know, the way I used to do it, early days at AT&T, I was in Richmond, I was an account manager, I'd pick up the phone and make a call. There weren't laptops, there weren't computers quite the way we had a big right. IBM system, but how just difficult that was. You know, you make 100 calls, you get 99 no's, and maybe you got one lead, that kind of thing, to sell something. But now my the land is so fertile with just the opportunity to connect with people. And when I say maybe my connections are 50% of what I reach out for, that's pretty high. You know, so if I do 100 LinkedIn and I get 50, I'm happy. So
yeah.
And then it ends up feeding on itself.
Direct mail used to be predicated on a 0.75% return.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know,
and I can write to people. I often use in mail. If I do get their email, I will. And Mark, this is a funny thing. It's just my own little axiom. But when I write to, if I was writing to you and I didn't really know you, but I wanted to intrigue you with something, not exactly sell, but we're all selling something, I guess. I sort of have a maximum of 15 words. I never write, you know, with attachments, never. I don't, here's my big attachment. Would you please read my,
my
because
bio.
It never works, never works, never works for me. I should put, so I'll say, you know, I'll intrigue you with some, here's what we have that may augment your business, bring you extra revenue. And I let it go. It works often. Sometimes it doesn't work. But it's my study and belief that people, that you have, a, if you have a message, you have roughly 8 seconds for them to not delete your email or your in-mail. There's a lot of market study on this, but I'm a true believer because I do it. Yeah. You know, if somebody they got click. I know it sounds terrible to say that,
but
I just
true.
Don't have the time.
Yeah. How long do you think people look at your profile before they decide if they're going to read it anymore?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer.
About
there.
3 seconds.
Is that so?
If there's no picture,
I better get a better picture.
If there's no picture, they're already gone. So your LinkedIn profile is 11 times more likely to be looked at if there's a picture. The next most valuable thing is that headline. Mm. If your headline says sales guy for XYZ, mm-hmm. you know, yawn, move.
Yeah.
So, you know, extraordinarily valuable real estate.
Yeah, truly it is. I guess I profile myself. You know, I didn't know how to profile myself, quite frankly, and I got my own company, CEO, and company builder is the only way I could put it because I'm not, and I do and have made investments in not specific ones that I work with other ones, but that has resonated for me. So company builder, what does that mean? I'm not actually constructing, but I'm constructing internally to help, you know, you with the, you know, how do you grow your company? Often. And again, just as another side,
you're like the property brothers of business. Yeah. You go in and refurbish that bad boy.
That's exactly right. And then that's a good way to put it. I hadn't thought about that. It's refurbishing. And then I like to hang around. I like to see if it works, even if I'm not paid, quite frankly. And
right.
There are several that I...
Well, we have a vested interest
at
that
point. I have a vested
that
interest. It's exactly right. It's my delivery and does it work? But often I will come back on a quarterly basis. I've got a program for this and sit with everybody again, shake hands and do all the lovey-dovey stuff. And then come to a point where I said, you know, how's it going? Is it going direction that we kind of set out and thought would go? Often, yes. Sometimes, no.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, let's look at this. Let's retweak this, that kind of thing. So that building, and I often tell them this too, Mark, you know, that building process it continues. You know, it's the lifeblood of your company. You have to continuously change in whatever you're selling, the markets you're selling to.
I'm a marketing guy. I'm not doing the same things for my clients that I did in 1985.
Yeah, right, because it wouldn't make any sense, right? So
let's get a mailing list.
Will work.
What?
Right. So
what's a mailing list?
Yeah. So using LinkedIn, I just simply, it's an extremely valuable tool. I can't think of what other social media other than texting the people I do. I think I told you earlier just offline that, you know, I'll use WhatsApp to video call somebody, and it's encrypted if I have some magic special thing I want to say, that kind of thing. But other than that, pretty much LinkedIn.
Okay. We're going to take our final break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You can find Jim, if you want to, on LinkedIn. It is James M. Fitzgibbon. He'll be the only one at SDG America. And you can find his website at sdgamerica.com.
Yep.
We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. I'm here with Jim Fitzgibbon. And I don't know about you on that side of the radio or the computer, but I'm having a great time here. Jim, thanks for coming in. I want to. We have 10 minutes or more or less, and I want to ask two questions. The first one is, and we've been bouncing around this for 30 minutes now.
Right.
Do you have specific goals you want to accomplish using LinkedIn?
Wow. That's an interesting question. Yes, probably. I mean, if I reflect on it just quickly right now, it's been such a boon to my business that I would like to get obviously the thing is more business, and I would like to connect with higher level, more private equity groups as well as individual firms. So to focus on that, I think LinkedIn, Mark, you may know, I can't remember, but I think they have a limit to the number of people you can.
They used to cap it at 30,000. I don't think is there anymore.
That's good to know, actually. You told me, because
you're getting close.
I'm getting close, and I don't want to, you know, I don't have to go back and, you know, eliminate people, that kind of thing. But
well, there's some from, you know, 2003 and 04 you might not need.
Yeah, that's very true.
Hard to find them when you have 27,000.
It'd be very difficult. So my goal would be probably to whittle that down a little bit and to kind of frame up SDG more with the people I know I can help today, that kind of thing. With a short answer, I'll probably leave and think, oh, you know, here was a goal, that kind of thing. But the immediacy of a goal would be just to get a higher level of senior exec, C-level person in there that I can both learn from and do business with, that kind of thing. That's important to me.
Okay, let me prime your pump a little bit here. After I read Jason's book and David's book in 2007, it dawned on me I needed some specific targets. So I made mine fairly general. I do work exclusively in the government arena. So if you're not involved in government contracting, the likelihood of me connecting with you is very low, unless you fall into some other categories that I play in. I'm connected to some best-selling authors because they've been on the show. I like their stuff. I'm connected to LinkedIn experts around the world. But my goals were, I want to be one of the most visible people in the government market. I want to be one of the most connected people in the government market. And I want to be one of the most trusted people in the government market. I want that credibility factor.
Yeah. Excellent. And that's I'm glad you said that, because it's an interesting thing. And I think you've achieved that, by the way, Mark, in this area. I think your name is renowned.
That's scary.
So I will expand then. That trust piece is the most critically important thing, I think, in any personal interaction, frankly. People have to believe that you're going to do what you say you're going to do, and then you have to do it. So that's a good way to put it. What I've put up on LinkedIn probably could take a tweak, and just maybe I would frame up. So in the top part of it, you know, that sort of summarizes who you are.
Yeah.
It's all eyewash to some degree, you know, because, you know, okay, so the guy's done this, he's done that, that kind of thing. But how do you really establish that credibility? You have to go meet people, shake their hand, look them in the eye, and present back to them. And I don't have all the answers, and I don't pretend that I do. Usually, you know, you can see I've been around for a while, but I can usually find out what I need to know and bring back some semblance of going forward thing. So that's, I'm glad you said that. Actually, something for me to think about as I leave, but trusting, I can't think of anything more in life that it's such a expansive word, trust, you know, whatever you do.
Yeah.
People have to believe in you. They have to believe that you're really going to do what you say you're going to do. And especially in sales, especially in marketing and the kinds of things that you and I do. I'm mostly in commercial markets. If I was going to expand to federal markets, I'd have to go to you. That's the frank truth. And I go to people that have expertises that may hover under my umbrella, my SDG mm-hmm. umbrella, mm-hmm. You know, and I just hire them as a subcontractor to do something. They do all the planning and that kind of thing, give me their rate. And I just will plug that into my proposal. But that's good to think about. And I appreciate your saying that. It gets me to think a little deeper on it.
The if I'm known for one thing in the market, it is saying what I think. I don't do endorsements.
That's right.
Frequently. Actually, mm-hmm. I've only done 3 or 4 in 30 plus years. So if I don't have 100% good feeling for something, no, it ain't going to happen. But by the same token, I've written 350 plus recommendations for people on LinkedIn because they've helped me throughout my career. You know, you don't get somewhere without other people. So there is no such thing as a self-made person.
That's right. That's right.
There's always a lot of other influences, positive or negative.
Yeah. Well put. And yeah.
So the next question is, and this is the one that I ask both these questions when I'm coaching people or coaching companies on LinkedIn. What are your goals? But this is probably more important. What do you want people to do after they look at your profile, after they read your profile? Mm. And, you know, everybody says, well, I want them to buy stuff from me. I'm going, well, where's your phone number? Where's your email?
Yeah.
You know, if you want them to contact you, why are you making it difficult?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what do I want them to do? I'd like them to contact me, and often they do. I had sort of an odd experience where I did actually at one point have my email on there, and Mark, I think it's just a factor of having too many people up there. So I got to tell you, I've got a lot of
spam.
Oh my Lord! I mean, hundreds a day. I took it off, you know. But I don't mind people calling me, and I do get a ton of calls. There is probably some credibility in being too accessible. I don't, you know, I'll talk to anybody. That's the frank truth. And I don't have too many errors about me. You know, this is what I do, and this is how I do it.
We are who we are.
Exactly. So I can give a lot of references, that kind of thing. But I have to, but what do I want them to, I just want to say, here's what I do, do it reasonably well, I believe, and others believe. So if you have some property, whether you own it yourself or a private equity group owns it, and you need some help, you need a helping hand, a fix up, I'll come in and I'll tell you what I can do. And if I can't do it, I'll get others that can do it. And that's what I want. I want to engage people. I really enjoy it. And if they try to link with me, I would say probably 60% of the time I'll do it.
There you go.
Yeah.
You should probably connect with some of the M&A firms that focus on smaller deals, not the $500 million company, because when I talk to them or when they talk to me, it's usually because somebody's approached them, they're interested in discussing selling the company, but it's not presenting itself particularly well.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I do that actually. I have a list of 1200, I think I told you earlier, PE
private
groups.
Yeah. Okay.
And I reach out to them all the time. And that's a good example on LinkedIn. So if I reach out to somebody I don't, out in California, immediately I'll go to the, XYZ Capital Group and find out who the principals are and say, listen, if any of these things are underperforming in one way or another, maybe we can help. And I'm sure they have tons of Jim Fitzgibbons reaching out to them, but often I'll get a response. I don't oversell it and I don't undersell it.
The first place they probably go to check you out is
LinkedIn. Yeah. And I'm sure they're going to do it. So,
Especially if they're a Silicon Valley.
We'll see who is this guy reaching out to me. He's in Washington, D.C. area. So we get a lot of business that way, just through the private equity groups, M&A groups, as you point out. You're right. Yeah. They're looking to frame up something and they want to write it up and they're under a lot of constraints to have it correct. And, they have to talk about the flaws as well as the good stuff within the, the master document. So I do approach them. If you ever see one if you see one that is a fixer-upper or needs some guiding hand or don't give me the thing that's, too far gone. I can come in and I think pretty, I have some positive abilities to affect that change. It may take this amount of time and it would cost this amount of money, but that's what I do. It's a good example used on M&A. So, yeah.
Cool. Final thoughts.
It's a true privilege to finally come in and meet you face to face. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for coming in.
It's my pleasure, Mark. Final thoughts. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. I don't. I have a lot going on right now, and I'll. We're kind of expanding some markets into. We're doing a lot with staffing companies now. We're doing industrial tooling. I think I'd mentioned earlier. Some software firms, offshore firms, media, doing a lot in media companies that need a change in sort of direction to be more updated media things as opposed to, we're doing employee of record companies, all of this. So, ton of fun.
There you go. Jim, thanks for coming in. You can find Jim at sdgamerica.com. and James M. Fitzgibbon on LinkedIn. This is not my day job. If you need help building out your LinkedIn presence, if you need help in social selling, drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off-Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.